This is Fresh Air. There are approximately 3 million Arab American citizens in the United States. In the past week, several dozen Arab American business and community leaders have been questioned by the FBI. The FBI says there are two reasons behind these interviews. The FBI is trying to protect Arab Americans against hate crimes. And the FBI is looking for information that could prevent acts of Iraqi terrorism against the United States. My guest, Albert McIver, is president of the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee. He considers the FBI questioning of Arab American leaders an act of discrimination. This morning, McIver met with the FBI. Later in the show, we'll talk with the assistant director of the FBI's Criminal Investigative Division, William Baker, who was present at that meeting. I asked Albert McIver what concerns he raised with the FBI.
First of all, we restated our position that we're firmly in support of protecting the American borders and people from terrorism, because we are part of those people and part of that nation. But on the other hand, we're equally opposed to the specific targeting or singling out of Arab Americans for interviews based on what we think is a very fallacious assumption that Arab Americans have some sort of innate knowledge about terrorism. Most Arab Americans, in fact, the overwhelming majority of them, probably have never come close to these issues other than in newspapers and televisions like all other Americans, and that we felt that based on a faulty conclusion, they've reached a equally faulty, or a faulty premise, they've reached an equally faulty conclusion, and that they need to suspend these interviews and apologize to the community, and that there are better ways of gathering that information, and the Arab Americans, like all Americans, of course, would come forward if they had any information about any acts of violence or terrorism that were to take place in this country.
What was resolved at the meeting?
Well, we discussed both sides of the issue quite thoroughly and came up with a conclusion that we would meet tomorrow and hopefully come to some sort of understanding where they would modify their program. There's two parts of the program. One we don't object to. One is the investigation of hate crimes against Arab Americans. In fact, we had asked the FBI for assistance in that because during the height of the crisis, when we deployed our troops, there was a rash of anti-Arab violence and discrimination across the country. And of course, the FBI does have proper jurisdiction to investigate those crimes. So we have no problem with the first aspect. The second part, though, that said, while conducting such interviews, we will ask about acts of terrorism, and as we later found out, they were also asking about people's political views. Well, that's totally outside the purview of the FBI, and I think the upper echelon of the FBI today agreed with us that if that type of questioning is going on, that it's wrong. Where we're not in agreement is how they should conduct the interviews regarding terrorism. I think we still have some work in sensitizing them as to the concerns Arab Americans have about being singled out, because we become a suspect class. What happens is, even though the FBI may or may not intend it, there's a backlash result from this type of investigation as well, because as people find out someone's being investigated or spoken to by the FBI, they assume that there's something wrong. So it heightens suspicion, and it takes very little, especially in a very tense situation that we're passing through now, for hate mongers among us to be triggered. And our concern is that, of course, for the safety of the entire nation, and of particular concern for our community, given the past history of hate crimes this summer.
Do you know where the FBI got the list of names, the names that they've been contacting?
We asked them that, and what their response was that there is no master list, which put us a little bit at ease, but that they had instructed their field officers to seek out business and community leaders. Now, that's a little vague. There was no definition put on that. And as a result, I would guess it was left to the discretion of field offices as to who was prominent in the community. Now, that may be who was outspoken on a political issue, who's been in the newspaper. And that is a little loose also. So we want them to know that that type of shotgun approach doesn't necessarily help them or us.
What types of questions has the FBI been asking?
Well, in some cases, they've been quite innocuous. Some officers have said, we're here to interview about any potential backlash or hate crimes that have been directed against you or your community. Do you know of any such? And we have no problem with that question. It's something that is fully understandable and to the benefit of the community. However, when those questions break down, and then in a very calm manner, very tense questions are asked, such as, well, what are your political views on the Gulf crisis? And what do you believe about our position? Or what do you think about X, Y, or Z? Those are political questions. Those are totally irrelevant for the FBI, and those are the questions that violate rather than protect civil rights of Arab Americans. In addition, and I think the most outrageous sets of questions other than the political ones are, well, do you know of anybody who's a terrorist or who's going to blow up a federal building? Well, of course, it's an absurd question. If somebody had that information, for God's sake, they would bring it to the authorities. And if they were part of some nefarious action, they would probably deny it.
Were you one of the people who were called by the FBI?
I was informed that I was about to be called, but for some reason they didn't, perhaps because our phones were so busy with other people complaining they didn't get through, but apparently I was on their list.
Now, the FBI, which you fear might be invading the rights of Arab Americans, is the same group that's responsible for protecting Arab Americans against hate crimes. That must put you in a funny situation because you're protesting the same group who you're also asking to protect you.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I've said on more than one occasion that we feel we have a schizophrenic relationship with the FBI. I was assured today by the director himself that despite our differences that they would not abandon their protection of our community, but of course this is something that's in the minds of all Arab Americans, and it's a very uncomfortable feeling.
How would you rate the FBI in how it's responded to hate crimes against Arab Americans in the past?
With respect to the hate crimes, they've done a fairly decent job, and we have no problem there. Unfortunately, however, the major case in our community, the act of terrorism that was brought against our office in Santa Ana, California in 1985, remains unresolved. At that time, our regional director, Alex O'Day, was murdered when a bomb was placed on the door to our office. This is despite the fact that the suspects in that case are believed to be living under Israeli protection in a West Bank settlement. Now, this may be more of a problem for the State Department to solve, but I would think that all agencies would put appropriate pressure to bring this case to a close, and it makes our community less than comfortable with the efficiency and perhaps sincerity of the government overall when it comes to Arab Americans. But on the other hate crimes, there has been due diligence, and the FBI, we cannot fault them on it, but we certainly can fault them on political surveillance.
Last week, the Justice Department announced that it would start fingerprinting and photographing anyone entering the United States with an Iraqi or Kuwaiti passport. Does that seem legitimate to you?
Well, it's closer to the normal purview of the FBI's duties in safeguarding the borders. Our concern, however, is that this could be the unraveling of rights leading to other issues which the Japanese Americans have kept us fully aware of in their experience in World War II. Once you take an entire group of people, in this case the entire set of Kuwaiti nationals or set of Iraqi nationals, and think that they're a suspect by virtue of the nationality, it causes everyone to be a little uneasy, especially for the Kuwaitis, who in fact are the people the government is fighting for. So it would not seem to make too much sense to take a broad brush and paint everybody into one corner or with one color. So we are very mindful of the need to protect the borders, but at the same time we have to balance the needs and the protections of persons' civil and constitutional rights as they enter this country.
What are your fears for the Arab American community if there is a war?
Our fears is that our neighbors, not the American society itself, it's not an indictment against our friends and neighbors. It's an indictment against racists and hate mongers who exist in every society in every country of the world, and that they would be prompted, once again, through ultra-nationalism or a false sense of patriotism, to attack Arab Americans, not realizing that Arab Americans are serving in equal proportion in the U.S. Armed Forces right now in the Gulf. Each and every one of us has a friend or a relative who is probably serving the government.
Albert McIver, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Albert McIver is the president of the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee. We talk with the FBI after the short break. This is Fresh Air. William Baker is the assistant director of the FBI's Criminal Investigative Division. He was at the meeting this morning with the head of the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee. I asked Baker if he thought the committee's complaints were legitimate.
No, I don't. We're trying to get to the entire country to ratchet up awareness as we get into this very crucial time frame. And this is only one element of reaching out to Arab Americans. We're reaching out to law enforcement. We're reaching out to people who run our public utilities, our agents in charge. I've briefed Congress and the Senate. Anywhere where we can reach out to become more aware of the possible threats of a terrorist attack.
Earlier today, you met with members of the Arab American Anti-Discrimination Committee. The committee expressed its grievances to you about the way this FBI investigation has been proceeding. There's another meeting scheduled for tomorrow. Do you expect to change your plan at all based on what you heard today from that meeting?
Well, I listened to these two leaders who came to see me, and I think mostly through not having full contact with us earlier on, perhaps, that these gentlemen had concerns about the motive intent or intent of the interviews. The interviews are not political in any way. No instructions were given by us to ask political questions.
The head of the Arab American Anti-Discrimination Committee told us earlier that there had been FBI questions about political beliefs.
Well, I caused to be looked into several allegations that were made, and any specifics we will look into because, as you can imagine, these interviews are being conducted across the country. They're not that great in number. There weren't that many of them scheduled to begin with. So that if we have specific allegations, then I need to know who it was that was interviewed and what it was that was said that was offensive, because our instructions were to pick mature agents, to explain to them the sensitivity of these interviews if they became misconstrued, and to conduct them thoroughly in a voluntary manner and in a non-confrontational manner, because these are leaders. These are not targets. These are not subjects who we're talking to.
The FBI is in a kind of unusual situation here in that the FBI is the group that protects against hate crimes. So this is the group that protects Arab Americans against hate crimes directed at them. At the same time, you're hoping to find from Arab Americans information about terrorism, and that's leading to a kind of different set of questions. I know many people in the Arab American community feel that they're in an awkward position with the FBI because they're feeling violated by some of the FBI's questions. At the same time, they're depending on the FBI for protection against hate crimes. Do you feel the FBI is in a funny position, serving two purposes at one time?
Well, the FBI is often called on to serve several purposes at one time, and we can best do our job when we can clarify the reasons why. I mean, we work very closely with local and state police, yet we also investigate when they violate civil rights by acting under the color of the law and committing crimes under their uniform. So we're often called upon to perform a dual mission. In this case, though, these were just two messages delivered to leaders. One, the FBI is available and will actively investigate any crimes committed against you based on civil rights violations. And two, and yes, this is a different and totally separate reason, should you come into possession of information, or should people you know and affiliate with come into possession of information about acts of terrorism, we would want that called to us right away. That's the same message I would give to all of America, but we're singling out these people because they do understand the Mideast culture.
I think Arab Americans interpret that as meaning that they do understand terrorism, that you're implying they understand terrorism.
No, we don't imply that. But if their neighborhoods might be used by any individuals, they would best know who's not fitting in. They would best be aware, or they or their affiliates, as to some unusual circumstance. And all we're asking is that they report that to us. And again, the purpose of this, and it shouldn't be misconstrued, is to set up a rapport and a contact with the leaders. Surprisingly, you should know that until a lot of the the information about this was made public, my agents in charge advised that the interviewees on the Great Part were cordial and receptive to these contacts. So we're having a little bit of a difference of opinion, and that's why I do want to meet to Mr. McIver again tomorrow and to discuss with him the responsibility the FBI has, and to listen to him and receive his suggestions on how we could do our job better.
What else is the FBI doing to stop terrorism?
Well, we're doing quite a bit, and unfortunately I can't get into the details of it, but we are concerned that should there be conflict, there might be attempts. This is not a hospitable country for international terrorism. We have reduced the acts of terrorism in this country down to only 5 last year. And we thoroughly investigate it. We thoroughly prosecute it. And it is not a safe haven for terrorists. So I want to get that message across wherever I can. That's one of the best deterrents, the fact that we've been so successful.
Bill Baker, thank you very much for your time.
Okay, thank you.
Baker is the assistant director of the FBI's Criminal Investigative Division. This is Fresh Air.